friends, neighbors, members of the family, fellow Christians, fellow members of the church, which is the body of Christ, we greet you. Thankful for your presence. I took this position today because I wanted May to speak to you, and it's the only way I can do it. She has always been a quiet helper in the background, always ready to talk to people, sympathize with them, and help them. And so I thought maybe since she has been quiet, I think only once in the many years in the ministry, she did take my place once when I was ill on a Sunday, that I'd try to give you her message, as I think she'd like to give it. Now, her favorite verse for starting out anything was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that's a mighty good starting point for any of us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You could say rightly directed, because practically the same thing we find which we're to rightly divide the scriptures. And that was her sort of a guidepost. I have her Bible here, her third one, and it has notes in it, lots of underlinings and so on. I thought I'd take you to Ephesians, to a few of them. I notice she has a ruler in here for one of the marking places. But, of course, Ephesians was one of our great favorites. And in this, she felt that she had an experience, that she had a great hope. And in Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to notice that, in heavenly places in Christ. This is the first time you run across this route in the Bible as having a place of hope and blessing and so on. It is mentioned way back in Deuteronomy 14, outside the universe, beyond the stars, blessed in heavenly places in Christ. That is a wonderful message. Also, in the next verse, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation that should be overthrown of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy, without blame before him in love. That is the goal. That is the thing that we have in view in the future. Having predestinated us, verse 5, into the adoption of children, and that should be son, this Krios, not Sekhon, by Jesus Christ to himself. The sonship, the adoption is used of dispensations where people come to full growth and in faith and the like, that they might be a member of that particular family. And then, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Folks, I think so often we get backwards on these things, and they talk about accepting Christ, all that sort of thing. But after all, we don't do it. We simply come into things by faith, and we are accepted in him. We don't do that accepting. And then going down to verse 10. A little purpose for the ages, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather into one all things in Christ, which both in heaven and to which are on earth, even in him. I could spend hours on this, but the import of the whole thing is that there are angels, principalities, powers, mights, and dominions in the heavenly places, far beyond the heavens above us, where Satan rules and his angels, far beyond that, far beyond the stars, which is a home for those who belong to the church, which is the body of Christ, and making up that temple. And they would be combined together. In other words, these Gentiles that are spoken of belong to the church, which is the body of Christ, be right underneath with these angelic beings. Or we can call them far beyond that. Aristocracy of heaven, I don't know. And as far as these earthly relationships are concerned that we have value so much, the glory there will be so far beyond that, possibly we might even forget them. Looking at Christ, our goal. I know, in our 62 years together, married life, it has been great. I've never seen her angry. And she says she never saw me angry. It has been a great time. And that's one reason why I wanted you to have something for a witness here. Also, we have in 2:4 in Ephesians a little something that goes along this line. And she has it all marked out here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And going on to verse 7. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Notice these steps, quickened, made alive, quickened us together with Christ, identified with him in his resurrection. Then he just has to, Paul just has to put in an interpolation, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Folks, that's an awful big mouthful, if you want to put it in the vernacular. Something that is glorious. This is far above the millennial hope of Israel here on the earth. Far above it. And it's far above the hope of the overcomers of the new earth and the new Jerusalem with all of its glories. This is far beyond that. And the message is neglected today. For one reason, people can't understand it. And the second reason is they're earthbound and they don't want it. They want the things of the earth. And then, going on to verses 8 to 10, the great salvation, which is for those of today who like to be united with Christ in the heavenly places. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. And don't make the mistake, that does not refer back to faith. It's your own gender. It's a whole faith by grace, or grace by faith salvation, is that. And so we, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, and that goes hard against our natures. We want to do something, but we can't. There's nothing we can do that's acceptable for salvation. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing to brag about. We boast of Christ, not ourselves. For we are his workmanship. Fancy work. created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have to be a new creation in order to have this new life, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice, accepted and given this position, and then the good works comes as a result. No man was ever saved by a preacher or a church, organization, or anything of that kind. It's by faith in what God has said. That is absolutely limited. Well, I could go on and on with some of the things he has marked here as a procession of markings. I might speak of another one. In Colossians 3, 1 to 4. This is a glorious hope for us. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, died with Christ, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear or be manifested, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Folks, that's deep. There's a lot of it there. And May has gone over these and marked them. I notice in her Bible here that she has marked all 14 we call silas, or special words that introduces a special subject. 14, or 7 of them on the doctrinal side, and 7 of them over on the practical side, all balanced up. She has marked these out. That's, again, you see the reason why, but I wanted to give you a little something here of what she knows, what she did. And remember this, that this is all that there is made. There has been a lie from the very beginning that man has a soul. But he was a soul, and that soul returns to dust. Her name is written in the book of life. And like Job, he knew about it. Whenever that name is called, she will answer. It may be the next, seemed to her like the next second after she fell asleep. I note in your Bibles very carefully in musical concordance, and you'll find that the word sleep is used only of the saved dead, never used of the unsaved. They never wake. They don't have life. These are fundamentals which are so often neglected, and which we have tried to teach, get folks to see, over the last 40 years at least, even earlier than that. I began my teaching in about 1938, not here, over in Michigan. We've tried to give folks this message, and we're so glad that we've been able to get it. May has been our secretary. She has written thousands of letters, and have gone into at least 40 foreign countries, and all 50 states. She has been the typesetter of our little magazine. Very accurate, worked hard at it. Taking care of all of the files, the addressing of over 5,500 papers a month. That's just some of the things she's been doing. And yet that will not bring her any salvation. It has to do with the reward. Has to do with that. But not salvation. I hope that you see the difference between salvation and reward. Now, I think in conclusion we can say that she has a citizenship, we find in Philippians 3:3, for our citizenship, our commonwealth, or whatever you want to call it there, is in heaven, where Christ is. And we have also in Philippians 3:20 the same thing spoken of. We have other messages concerning that in Paul's prison epistles. Now, if you want to know more of this and what May has to say and so on, I'd advise you to read and study carefully the last seven epistles of Paul, which were written particularly for the Gentiles and the nations. And you will find it, I'm sure. Many, many people have found it for themselves. They didn't have to be told, as they just read the word that the Holy Spirit teach. So I think I could have said a lot more. But I certainly have appreciated this, because I could have not have done my work without her. Absolutely impossible. Dear Father, we do thank thee that we have this another opportunity to witness concerning thy Son, and to help people to see what thy servant may has learned and believed, and has made her dear to many people. Be thankful for thy great love for us, and shown for us in this manner, that thou didst give thy only begotten Son, that we might have life. Thankful that he has opened the doorway into the heavenly places, and made a place for those who are intimately connected with him, as a church which is his body. And we do ask that thou wilt guide and direct in all of our ways, that we who survive may continue to walk in the right ways and to talk concerning the heavenly things. Through Christ we ask. Amen. Friends and neighbors, we are here to say goodbye to May till the morning comes when all will arise at his call. We are here to remind the living of the example of the dead, and that they might live too, that they might be approved unto him. We gave just a while ago one of May's favorite verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. She also liked Psalm 23. And I'd like to just go through that briefly and comfort our hearts as we are here to say goodbye. The Lord. Now this is really a mistake. Jehovah is my shepherd. But in 134 places in the Old Testament, the word Jehovah has been changed to Lord, because Jehovah was such a sacred name that they did not dare to write any more after they'd written that on that particular day, and they'd lose a lot of time in copying the scriptures. I make that little digression so as we understand here. Jehovah was a special name for Israel. Jehovah is my shepherd. And of course, David was a shepherd king, and many of the people he met knew about sheep and the shepherds. I shall not want. I like it in the Latin, non plusum epire. I cannot be in need. Just a little bit better, I think, than our English translation. And we have found that true in our own lives, that we have given out a ministry for the Lord for almost 40 years, and we have not been in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Oh my, that is what the sheep like. Just nice green pastures where they can eat and lie down, be at peace, have everything that they need. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and sheep never like rapids or water that is making any fuss while it's running, they will stay away from it, even to not drinking. And so the shepherd knows where to lead them, where there is a pool, that the water is clear, and also that it is not moving still. And so the good shepherd leads them into such places. He restoreth my soul. That is, the shepherd restores the sheep's life by his medications and his care and so on, that the sheep can live and be well. This is not talking about a soul that somebody might have, some spook or something inside them. That isn't the meaning here. It's the soul is actually the body. Adam was a living soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And how many of us can say that we have been led in paths of righteousness? Or have we rebelled and tried to go our own way and get lost among the rocks or fall over a cliff or something like that? Oh, if we only follow the leading of the shepherd, we won't get into such troubles as that. And I will fear no evil. Well, you got a good shepherd, you don't need to fear evil. Just trust him. For thou art with me. Now, folks, sometimes the sheep had a tendency to wander. But this one is not speaking of that. He says, thou art with me, staying close to the shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, the rod was to beat and kill the enemies, and the staff, the shepherd's hook, was to rescue them from a ledge or somewhere where they might have fallen, or to guide them in their way as they're walking along the paths. And so they are a comfort, those two instruments. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, getting it back again to the green pastures. And there it is, a nice valley, level with green pastures. But if you look close, you'll probably see some eyes behind the rocks along that valley. You might see a slinking creature of some kind, an enemy of the sheep there. But the shepherd is out there, and so they dare not go out. But here the sheep can have a table and eat plentifully right there in the presence of their enemies and be perfectly safe. Thou anointest my head with oil. That was sort of a cure oil, a cure-all, helping in cases of fever and so on, and a little oil anointed on the head was a help. And my cup runneth over. If a sheep had a little illness or anything like that, the shepherd kept a cup at his girdle that he could get some nice fresh water and give the sheep a drink. And so here he says, my cup runneth over. I have plenty. And so we have. We have plenty when we have the good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Notice that. If we are willing to have this shepherd, we can have goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not many people seem to understand that last statement there. They seem to kind of think that maybe David is going to go and dwell in the temple of Jerusalem. And, of course, the only people who could dwell in that temple were the Levites, of the tribe of Levi. And David is the house of Judah. So we're looking for something else. And we find that Abraham also looked for a great city and a temple. And in John 14, we're told about it. And here it is, this great new Jerusalem that comes down from the new heaven into the new earth when the present heavens and earth have passed away. And so David is looking far forward into the future, future even yet today. And so may we learn a lesson from this psalm and learn and know that our Lord is figuratively speaking, a good shepherd, and he cares for his sheep. Dear Father, we do thank thee for the words that we get from thy book, the comfort they give us, and the help they give us for everyday lives. We're thankful that May followed thy precepts, that she knew she had a good shepherd, and that she was mindful of the fact. Thankful that many who are listening have also learned that great truth. And we do ask that any who have not learned that truth, that they may be brought to the place they can see, and that they will believe, and that they will accept this shepherd as their shepherd, that he might lead them into everlasting life, everlasting mansions. Through Christ we ask it. Amen.